Welcome. The contents of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. We're going to start with an article from AARP, the magazine, and this one is The Unstoppable Salma Hayek, From Discrimination to Stereotyping to a Deadly Disease. The actress has risen above it all. In Hollywood, no one flinches at making movies about murder, greed, global annihilation, or zombie cannibalism. But there is one subject that strikes fear into the hearts of producers and directors: menopause. So, when Salma was asked to reprise the role of Sonia, wife of a certain age, to a hitman, Samuel L. Jackson, in a film that focused on her story, she had one condition. Her character had to be on intimate terms with the hot flashes and mood swings of all too familiar to women in their 40s and 50s. When I was going through menopause myself, I wondered, how come nobody talks about this in the movies, says Hayek, 55, with a chuckle. The outspoken Latina star got her way. Her black leather-clad, gun-toting badass and hitman's wife, bodyguard, cusses like a stevedore, wields a machine gun with one hand, and boasts, according to the New York Times, a double D libido and industrial-strength vocal cords. But soon, Sonia additionally grapples with the midlife issues of how a woman's body changes with time and what that means. The film is last summer's loud and raucous shoot 'em up. Is also, she says, a love story about staying in love, not just falling in love. To put a finger on it, she asks, how do you adapt your love to the different versions of yourself as you go through time? Time, the enemy of her profession, has been kind to her, but she has fought pitched battles for everything she has attained. Her career, launched with instant stardom in Mexico and then established in spite of challenges, including typecasting, in Hollywood, has brought her to a place where she can call the shots as an actress, producer, and director. Speaking over Zoom from Los Angeles in July, she wears chunky black frame glasses. Beneath her cascade of luxurious black hair, there is an openness about her, an apparent comfort with who she is at this stage in her life. A wife who married in her 40s, a mother of one and stepmother of three, the founder of her own production company, and a skilled actor still in demand. But she came close to losing it all. She revealed to the press in May that she nearly died last year of COVID-19. She caught the disease early in the pandemic and spent several weeks in isolation, part of it on oxygen and long months in recuperating. In fact, she says, she struggled with symptoms of long COVID, though she has felt fine since being vaccinated. It was very scary, she admits. You can be really ill, and then you'll be completely fine, and then all of a sudden, you take the wrong turn. You don't know in what moment you will take that plunge again. It wasn't the first time in her life that she had contemplated her mortality, but she explains that this time it was different, just because it was a shared experience. I remember thinking about all the people who were going through the same thing at the same time. She says she was grateful for the support of her family, husband, François-Henri Pinault, daughter Valentina, 14, and stepchildren François, Mathilde, and Augustine. I realized we are so fragile, not just as individuals, but collectively. I was thinking more about the global experience than about my own personal mortality, because this is what a pandemic forces you to do. Now let's look at a few of her greatest hits. Me Doc Alley, 1995. She was nominated for an Ariel Award, Mexico's Oscar, for her performance as a passionate, tragic beauty. Desperado, 1995. In her first U.S. star turn, the actress played a bookstore owner who gets caught up in a deadly feud when she saves a vengeful gunman. From Dawn Till Dusk, excuse me, this is from Dusk Till Dawn, 1996. Writer Quentin Tarantino created her role as a vampire stripper who performs with a Burmese python. Wild Wild West, 1999. Though a box office flop, this film marked the actress's ascent to Hollywood's A-list. She starred along with Will Smith and Kevin Kline. Frida, 2002. She was nominated for a Best Actress Academy Award for her searing performance as the brilliant and tormented artist Frida Kahlo. Savages, 2012. This Oliver Stone thriller featured the actress as a ruthless drug cartel boss. The Hitman's Bodyguard, 2017. Her brief, butt-kicking performance in this action film gave rise to a sequel released this year and built around her character. And now also in AARP, the magazine, 5 Steps to Online Security. This is by Doug Shadle, Outsmart Fraud. Most likely, your private info is already on the web. Here's my system for managing passwords to stop thieves from using it. This June, a news story hit that made barely a ripple in the mainstream press, but had me jumping out of my seat. The news? A single digital file, nicknamed Rock You 2021, had been leaked on a forum in the dark web that listed some 8.4 billion, billion stolen passwords. As one article noted, that is almost 2 passwords for every human who goes online. What could computer-savvy criminals do with such a file? Trust me, much badness. Here's just one example. If they knew your login to, say, your bank, which typically is just your email address, they could use a super-fast computer to try all these passwords to enter your account and steal from you. It turns out this file is a compilation of many password connections or collections that were already in circulation, which calmed my nerves slightly. But it's a stark reminder that most of our personal information is already out there on the web. Our job now? Prevent criminals from using it. And perhaps the top step you can take is to frequently change your passwords. With that in mind, I interviewed several experts to put together this super-duper, all-updated, ultra-safe system for password management. Take these steps and you will minimize the chance of criminals getting their hands on your data. Step 1. Schedule a password change session. You'll want a few hours of computer time to do this. While there is no set-in-stone recommendation on how often to change your passwords, Dave Morrow, former chief of computer science crime investigations for the U.S. Air Force and now the co-lead volunteer with the Fraud Watch Network for AARP Washington State, tells his audiences, "I would say absolutely no less than once a year for all your accounts and possibly sooner for critical accounts like banks or healthcare providers. My recommendation, start fresh and update all your key passwords now. Then schedule another session in 6 months, unless another big consumer data breach occurs first." Step 2. Prune your accounts. It's not unusual for any of us to have 100 or more passwords given all our online interactions with retailers, restaurants, job hunt sites, social media accounts, utilities, and others. I'm no different. But when I periodically look at the list of accounts, I see many I'm unlikely to use again. In this session, close out as many old accounts as you can. Start with all the retailers, restaurants, and service providers that constantly email you and that you routinely ignore. Step 3. Upgrade the quality of your passwords. Here are some tips for this. The golden rule, never use the same password twice. If everyone in the world stopped reusing passwords for multiple sites, we would cut cybercrime in half overnight, says Brian Krebs, who runs the Krebs on Security blog. You might not think it matters that your Netflix account password is the same as the one for your bank account, but once a hacker has one password, he'll try it on all. Do wholesale changes. Don't tinker. Lots of people change one letter or add one number to the old password just to make it easy to remember. But that is a formula for easy detection. Legal matters. The longer and more random the password, the more computational power that's required to hack it, said Brett Johnson, one of the pioneers of dark web cybercrime. Many experts recommend using passphrases to make it easier to remember. Krebs says passphrases should contain words that don't seem to make sense together. Example, red engines eat purple dust, percentage, exclamation point, asterisk. Step 4. Create a system for recording passwords. There are two grade A approaches. The first is old school. Write them down. Yes, pen and paper, in a password journal that you keep in a safe, non-obvious place in your home. Simply write the name of the account, the login, the password, and the date you created it. Do that for every account. The second approach, get an online password manager like Dashlane, LastPass, or 1Password. That's the number one. These services store all your passwords and logins in a truly secure place in the cloud, so you don't have to remember them. Just create one master password that gets you into the system, and voila, you have access to all the other passwords. Change that password every 6 months and don't lose it or store it on your computer. Finally, step 5, sign up for 2-step verification. My sources agree that this is the best way to tighten security around your online accounts. How it works. When you enter your login and password, the website sends an email or text to a different device with a code for you to enter. Only then will it allow you through to the site. To sign up, log into your account and go to your personal settings. Usually there is a link there to set up this service. Last advice, have your smartphone on hand when paying bills on a computer so you have fast access to these codes. Now let's move on to the Complete Guide to Heart Health for folks over 50. The section I'm going to read today is High Blood Pressure, the Silent Killer. Sudden numbness on one side is a key symptom of a stroke. That's a little sidebar comment. You probably can't tell you have this super common condition, but it's easily treatable. Remember your last doctor's visit? The nurse probably took your blood pressure and quoted you a couple of numbers, a larger one over a smaller one. The first refers to your systolic blood pressure, the kind inside your arteries each time your heart pumps blood through its chambers or out to the body, and the second to your diastolic blood pressure, the pressure in your arteries when your heart rests between pumps. You've probably heard that 120 over 80, HG, which stands for millimeters of mercury, is considered a healthy blood pressure, but you may not know how truly significant this number is. Let's take a closer look at the consequences of high blood pressure and how to keep it in check. The 411 on hypertension. Since there aren't really any signs or symptoms of high blood pressure, aka hypertension, unless it's extreme, you may write off those numbers as NBD. But high blood pressure is no minor issue. It can damage the arteries and blood vessels supplying your vital organs and increase the risk of stroke and heart attack, as well as cognitive issues, vision loss, and kidney failure, says Juan Velasquez, MD, an interventionalist cardiologist at the Tenet Florida Physician Services in the Miami area. More than 50% of Americans over the age of 50 have high blood pressure, and 80 to 90% of the time it's considered primary or essential hypertension, meaning no known disease or underlying condition is to blame. Genetics, your diet, and lifestyle habits are the main culprits. They affect how much water you retain, and thus your blood volume, and how wide your blood vessels are, which influence how hard your heart works. When high blood pressure results from identifiable health conditions, about 5 to 10% of all cases, it's considered a secondary hypertension. Sleep apnea is a major cause, since obstructed breathing triggers the release of blood pressure elevating stress hormones. Kidney disease, which is more common in older adults, and endocrine disorders impact blood pressure health too. Dangerous heights. One of the most serious consequences of high blood pressure is an increased risk of stroke. Strokes occur when blood flow to the brain is obstructed, causing brain cells to die, and can be fatal if untreated. Slurred speech, sagging of one side of the face, paralysis of a limb, and difficulty walking or seeing are classic signs. Call 911 the second symptoms begin, since waiting longer for help means more severe damage. Nearly 90% of strokes are ischemic, when a blood clot or fat deposits jam up brain-bound arteries. Hemorrhagic strokes or brain bleeds happen when a blood vessel in the brain ruptures or leaks. Weak segments of blood vessels, called aneurysms, that swell with blood due to high blood pressure or stimulants like cocaine or amphetamines, can cause hemorrhagic strokes. Sudden headaches, numbness of the face, arms, or legs, blurry vision, and seizures are their hallmark symptoms. Mini strokes, or transient ischemic attacks, TIAs, can also happen when brain blood flow is briefly impeded, say for 5 minutes or less, says Matthew Budoff, MD, director of cardiac CT at Harbor UCLA Medical Center's cardiology division in Los Angeles. TIAs still require an emergency care and may precede more severe strokes. So be sure to get evaluated by a medical professional and follow their guidance on lowering future stroke risk, even if your symptoms resolve swiftly. Manage your risk. One easy way to your lower blood pressure and reduce your stroke risk, eat less salt. Salt causes your body to retain water, which increases blood volume and makes your heart work harder. New guidance from the American Heart Association recommends capping intake at 1,500 milligrams per day, about two-thirds of a teaspoon or less. Forget foregoing nicotine, which triggers release of the heart rate increasing and blood vessel narrowing hormone adrenaline. It's another smart move that helps your entire body. Since it can raise blood pressure, possibly by blocking a hormone that helps widen arteries, consider curbing caffeine too. Research is mixed on this point, however, and regular coffee drinkers may not experience the blood pressure spiking effects. Can't live without it? Curtail afternoon and evening servings, if only to sleep better. Just one night of poor sleep can raise blood pressure. Getting more active also helps. The new exercise guidelines recommend 30 to 60 minutes of moderate aerobic activity, like brisk walking, on most days, and 2 days of strength training. But a 2019 Sports Science for Health study suggests that twice weekly, shorter bursts of high-intensity exercise, 6-second sprints with a minute or two of rest in between, repeated for 12 minutes, can improve blood pressure as effectively. If lifestyle and dietary changes aren't enough, your doctor may recommend antihypertensive medications. These include diuretics, which help you excrete excess salt, ACE inhibitors, which suppress the artery narrowing hormone angiotensin, beta blockers, which lowers heart rate, or calcium channel blockers, which widen blood vessels. Supplementation with the aged garlic extract, kyolic, has also been found to reduce blood pressure by relaxing blood vessels, but check with your doctor before trying it so he or she is in the loop about all of your supplements and medications. Because hypertension can take years to cause perceptible damage and there are often no symptoms, most people don't know they have it. That's why it's critical to take action if your doctor says it's elevated or if you're at risk due to family history, age, the older you get, the higher your risk, and race. Black individuals are at higher risk relative to Caucasians, Hispanics, and Asians. Your heart will thank you for it. Now, here are some blood pressures we should know. Healthy blood pressure is less than 120 and less than 80 HG. Pre-hypertension is 120 to 129. High blood pressure is 130 to 139 or 80 to 89. High blood pressure, stage 2, is 140 or above, or the lower number would be 90 or above. And this is your body having a stroke. Approximately 800,000 Americans experience a stroke each year. Here's what happens when one occurs. When a clot inside an artery keeps adequate blood and oxygen from getting to areas of the brain, or a blood vessel in the brain bursts, causing swelling and damage in the areas affected, millions of neurons start dying. Almost 2 million brain cells can die in a minute. As a result, bodily functions governed by affected regions, like speech, vision, or muscle movement, start to fail. This is when you call 911. Foregoing care could mean permanent paralysis, organ damage, or death. Once you reach the hospital, if brain scans determine the stroke is ischemic, or if it happened within the last 4.5 hours, you'll likely receive an intravenous drug, tissue plasminogen activator, or a TPA, to break up clots. Sometimes a clot may require removal via a tiny catheter inserted into an artery via the groin. Hemorrhagic strokes often require surgery to contain bleeds. Most stroke victims remain in the hospital for about a week, where their vital signs are monitored and rehabilitation, including physical, occupational, or speech therapy, begin. Depending on the extent of damage, you may need continuing rehab or care for months to come. About a third of stroke survivors will recover with no or minimal disability. Now, after that bit of somewhat stressful news, let's go to prevention, finding your calm. And we have been talking about the magic of being mindful every day. So we're finally near the end of this, and suggestion number 8 is on the road. Traffic doesn't have to be stressful and raise your blood pressure. In fact, it's a perfect time to practice your patience and awareness using a method adapted by Goldstein. Stop, which stands for stop, take a few deep breaths, observe, and proceed. You can use this practice anytime, including while you're in your car waiting at a red light. Once completely stopped, take a moment to inhale and exhale deeply. Then ask yourself, how is my body doing right now? Am I tense? How do I feel emotionally? For the last step, ask yourself, what is the most important thing for me to pay attention to right now? Where do I want to bring my awareness? 9, going to bed. Practicing mindfulness in the evening is a great way to quiet a racing mind and prepare your body for sleep. Try a quick body scan. As you're lying on bed, bring your awareness to the physical sensations in your body. Starting with your toes, move your attention slowly upward, bringing it to each part of your body. Notice any sensations or tension in each area, then allow that part to completely relax. By the time you reach your head, you'll be ready to doze off. And finally, with family. At the next family event, try an active listening meditation to become more present. As you focus your awareness on what someone else is saying, Also notice that person's body language, vocal quality, and intonation. Why this works? Often when we're in conversation, we're focused on our own responses rather than on what the other person is saying. But when you stop thinking about what you're going to say next, you start truly listening. It's quite relaxing because any stress and anxiety felt in social situations is usually a result of thinking and rehearsing. Focusing on just listening turns the volume down and you start to process what is being said. And now let's switch back to AARP, the magazine. And I have a list here of the gift of music. We asked some famous artists, what's your favorite Christmas recording? Christmas, number one, is Christmas by Michael Bublé, country singer Lee Greenwood. I love this approach to music. I love the way he sings. His style is so refreshing. Number two is Christmas Time is Here by the Vince Guaraldi Trio. Jazz saxophonist Sonny Rollins says, the song's melody somehow captures Christmas, the whole holiday feeling of joy and sadness. Christmas songs by Mel Torme. Classical violinist Robert McDuffie says, it's just his velvety voice and his intuitive way of phrasing. Few musician instrumentalists and singers have had such a signature style that others try to emulate. And number four, Christmas in the Heart by Bob Dylan. Singer-songwriter Suzanne Vega says, I think the very idea of him doing a Christmas album is sort of like, this must be a joke. But it isn't. It's sincere. It's kind of a cross between traditional arrangements and Americana. Now, I've been giving you some tidbits that my friend from Canada sent me. And we've usually had to do them one at a time, but I have time for more than one today. I got myself a senior's GPS. Not only does it tell me how to get to my destination, it tells me why I wanted to go there. The phrase, hindsight is 20/20, may forever have new meaning. It took click it or ticket to get people to wear a seatbelt. I wonder if a mascot or casket might work. And finally for today, brain cells, hair cells, and skin cells, they all die constantly. But freaking fat cells seem to have eternal life. Well, folks, we've run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.